Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Everyone, welcome to Pep Talk. Sharky Zartman here, and today we will discover a new paradigm for brain health and aging with Dr. Brant Courtwright, the author of The Neurogenesis Diet and Lifestyle. Also joining us is Melissa Cohen, the author of Parentnology, who will share her simple guide to surviving your teen. Now, first up is Dr. Brant Courtwright, a highly respected clinical psychologist and professor of psychology at the California Institute of Integral Studies. His consulting practice specializes in cutting-edge brain health and neuroscience-informed depth therapy. His new book, The Neurogenesis Diet and Lifestyle, Upgrade Your Brain, Upgrade Your Life, is a new program to improve memory, inoculate against stress and depression, prevent or delay cognitive decline, and enrich your sex life while you age. So, welcome, Dr. Brant.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm so excited to get to talk to you about this. I've been teaching for a long time, health, anatomy, physiology, and I've always taught that brain cells do not regenerate. So I guess I was wrong.
Well, you and everybody else, until very, very recently, that's what it was believed. That was considered gospel, that the brain stopped growing new brain cells in our early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it was just one slow die-off. That was considered absolute fact
right. Until
the late 1990s. And then they discovered that, no, actually the brain makes new brain cells throughout our entire life. And it then took them a few more years to discover what the significance of this was. So it turns out that low rates of neurogenesis, that is, so neurogenesis is the process of making new brain cells.
Right.
The generation of new neurons.
Mm-hmm.
So a low rate of neurogenesis is associated with memory problems, with cognitive decline, with anxiety, with stress, and with depression, even with lowered immunity.
Okay.
And a high rate of neurogenesis, that is, a high rate at which the brain is making new brain cells, is associated with the opposite, with cognitive enhancement, with rapid learning, with robust emotional resilience and protection against stress, anxiety, and depression. So this is hugely significant that our rate of neurogenesis is the most important biomarker for health and brain health that most people have never heard of.
Right.
And what this book is about is increasing our rate of neurogenesis, because it turns out that just about everybody can increase their rate of neurogenesis by 5 times, maybe even more than that, because the science is so new that we don't even know all the things that can increase the rate of neurogenesis. So this book gathers together a lot of the neuroscience literature into one place to look at how we can increase our rate of neurogenesis.
Okay, well, let's get right to it. So, what are some of your suggestions for increasing this rate of neurogenesis?
Okay, good. So this is a holistic approach, meaning body, heart, mind, spirit, every level of it. And it turns out that a holistic approach is much more powerful than doing any one thing alone.
Okay.
That when we do one thing alone, the effects are, they can be tempered by other factors. So, again, it's body, heart, mind, spirit. And there's also a separate chapter on diet, because diet is such a big part of this.
Mm-hmm.
So at the physical level, for example, exercise. Exercise is good for all sorts of things, all kinds of exercise. Yoga, weightlifting, aerobic exercise. But when it comes to neurogenesis, the only kind of exercise that appears to be effective is aerobic exercise.
Oh.
So aerobic exercise is anything that gets you breathing hard and your heart beating fast. So running, walking quickly, fast dancing, biking, swimming, walking up a mountain, anything that gets you breathing fast, your brain will start to just explode with new brain cells. So aerobic exercise is hugely important. And every neuroscientist in this field, I was reading this one report saying that everybody he knows either runs or does some sort of aerobic exercise, because it's a very powerful way of increasing the rate of neurogenesis. Now, the problem with running alone is that about half of these new brain cells die off very quickly. The brain prunes them, unless we do other things. So, for example, in the diet section, it lists about 25 or 30 different nutrients that we can take and eat, make a part of our diet, that will increase our rate of neurogenesis. One of these is a bioflavonoid called hesperidin. Hesperidin comes from citrus fruits. And the effect of hesperidin in our diet, you can do it as a standalone supplement, is that it keeps new brain cells alive. So when we do some sort of aerobic exercise, we increase our rate of neurogenesis. And then we do other things, such as hesperidin, which keeps these new brain cells alive, almost 100% then stay alive. So we need to do a variety of things, and exercise is one of them. Again, there's emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical and dietary things.
Okay. I have a question about the hesperidin. Do you recommend taking it in whole food form or in supplemental form? And do you take it right after you exercise, or does it matter?
You can take it any time of day.
Okay.
And it's probably better to do it as a supplement, because you get so much of it. It's hard to get enough of it from citrus fruit. And citrus fruit is also high in sugar.
Right.
Which is not so good for neurogenesis.
Okay.
So when it comes to diet, I think of this as a two-pronged strategy. We need to stop eating things that slow down our rate of neurogenesis.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to eat more of those things that increase our rate of neurogenesis.
Okay.
Now, we live in a pretty neurotoxic world. There are just so many things that just about everybody eats and exposes themselves to that slows down our rate of neurogenesis. Nobody knew this until just very, very recently. We all just kind of stumbled into this innocently, not knowing this. But now it's become clear that two big things slow down our rate of neurogenesis. One is unhealthy bad fats, and the other is a high-sugar, high-carbohydrate diet.
Okay.
It turns out that a high-sugar diet will cut your rate of neurogenesis in two.
Wow.
That's pretty astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about the average diet of the American children, starting off with, I don't know, sugar frosted flakes and orange juice, mm-hmm. it's all sugar and unhealthy fats. You can't grow a good brain that way. If we want to build a high-end house, we need to use good quality materials, right? We don't use rotting lumber or decaying wood. We use high-quality lumber. And it's the same with the brain. To build a high-quality brain, we need to use high-quality materials. And that means high quality, healthy fats, a moderate amount of protein, and a minimum of carbohydrate. So it turns out that about two-thirds of our brain is fat.
Mm-hmm.
And of that, one-third of it is DHA. Now, DHA is one of the three omega-3 fatty acids. So omega-3 consists of ALA, EPA, and DHA. And DHA is by far the most important. Again, a third of the brain's fat is DHA. And almost nobody gets enough of this or an optimal amount of this. If you increase your omega-3 intake, you can increase your rate of neurogenesis by 40%, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
They did one experiment with monkeys where they raised a set of monkeys on a low omega-3 diet and another set of monkeys on a high omega-3 diet. And they looked at their brains afterwards. And the brains of the monkeys on the low omega-3 diet had very simple, undifferentiated brains. But the brains of the monkeys in the high omega-3 diet had very complex, richly differentiated brains, almost like human beings. When it comes to the brain, complexity is good. We want to see complexity. And DHA is one of the most powerful things to increase complexity.
Okay.
So most people can do 3, 4, or 5 grams a day as fish oil. But if you do it as a fish oil supplement, you need to make sure it has a high omega-3 content to it. And some fish oils have a low omega-3 content, so you need to check the label. And also make sure it's molecularly distilled. Otherwise, there's likely to be mercury in it.
Okay.
And mercury is one of the most potent neurotoxins known, and it concentrates in the food chain in the fish kingdom. So you want a molecularly distilled, high DHA content, omega-3 supplement.
Okay. And you said 3 grams a day? Or?
3 or 4 or 5. Most people can use that much.
Okay.
And it's also an extraordinary antidepressant. There's research showing that omega-3s in like 5, 6 grams a day is actually a more effective antidepressant than SSRIs and antidepressant medication. And that's because this increases the rate of neurogenesis, which is what heals us in depression when we're depressed.
Okay, well, you talked about unhealthy bad fats as slowing down neurogenesis. What fats are you talking about?
Okay, good. So unhealthy bad fats are oxidized fats. And fats oxidize through heat and exposure to oxygen. So, for example, cooking with a vegetable oil, it's a terrible idea because it oxidizes. The vegetable oil oxidizes when we cook with it. And when those oxidized fats enter our bloodstream, what happens is that they then oxidize other fats in our bloodstream, and they oxidize the cholesterol in our bloodstream. And it's that oxidized cholesterol that produces heart disease, produces atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries, and it also produces inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And chronic inflammation is terrible for the body and particularly bad for the brain. Inflammation slows your rate of neurogenesis down to a crawl. And it also chews up the inside of your blood vessels. And your brain has like 20% of your blood. Very rich in blood vessels, so we want to keep a good, healthy cardiovascular system, not just for our heart, but also for our brain. So bad fats are oxidized fats. So cooking with vegetable oil is the biggest culprit, probably.
Okay.
Even olive oil should be best used in salads, used cold. So cook with coconut oil or butter or ghee, or even tallow or lard. And then other healthy vegetable oils or other healthy fats would be things like avocados,
mm-hmm.
nuts, pastured eggs, grass-fed cows that produce cheeses, yogurts, all kinds of dairy, grass-fed beef, pastured chicken, wild-caught fish. These kind of fats are really good for the brain, so long as they're not overcooked. They did one study looking at people who ate fish 1 to 3 times a week and discovered they had 16% more gray matter, more neurons, in the higher processing centers of their brain, unless they ate fried fish. And the frying of it made it so there was no difference between their brains and normals. Hmm. So frying fish, particularly deep frying, again, it's this high temperature that oxidizes the fats. And, I mean, I hate to say this because I used to love fish and chips. I probably still do, but I don't let myself eat it anymore. Hmm. Because those oxidized fats just wreak havoc with the brain and slow neurogenesis way, way down.
Okay. I have a question about the problem that we're seeing with Alzheimer's and dementia. You know, we really don't know what is causing this. You know, we have a lot of people living, you know, to be older. But is this something that, you know, when you talk about increasing the rate of neurogenesis, is this something that can help somebody who's already suffering from something like dementia or Alzheimer's?
Yes, that's a great question. Because right now, there's no hope for Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on the Alzheimer's website, what it shows is that it's the one major disease for which there's currently no treatment, no way to prevent it, no way to reverse it. And the pharmaceutical companies have spent billions of dollars, literally billions of dollars, and hundreds of clinical trials trying to come up with a drug that would affect it, and they've come up with nothing so far. Absolutely zero. Zip. And right now, 1 in 3 American seniors dies with either Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia. And within a few years, it's going to be 50% of those who reach the age of 85 have Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And since most of us are expected to live to be 85, that's pretty scary. Well, there's some new research out now from a holistic perspective that gives the first glimmer of hope here, and it's actually quite powerful. So late last year, the Buck Foundation of Aging in California released a study where they did a holistic approach, and essentially this came out just before my book was published, and so I just included it at the very end. But what they did was a very simplified version of what's in the book, a body, heart, mind, spirit intervention. And they found that they could actually reverse the cognitive decline associated with Alzheimer's, and that people who had had to stop working because of memory problems and memory loss were able to regain their memory and go back to work for the 2 years that they followed them during the study.
Wow.
And then just a few months ago, there was a Finnish study that also showed you could delay cognitive decline. This is a randomized controlled study of 1,200 people. Again, using a very simplified version of what's in the book. To delay cognitive decline in an at-risk population of seniors. So we now have some of the first real hope for preventing or delaying Alzheimer's. And Alzheimer's is something that begins decades before we see symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So now is the time to start taking care of your brain.
Right, right. Well, I think this is really, really important. And so, yeah, you've got to get this information out there since doctors aren't providing any hope for people. And so, yeah. What about stress? You know, a lot of people, you know, that's the number one problem that people mostly complain about is stress in their job, stress with their families, stress with finances. How does stress affect brain health?
Good question. I think of stress as being of two kinds, sort of like fats. There's good stress and there's bad stress.
Mm-hmm.
And we need good stress, but we don't need bad stress. So good stress is short-term, moderate stress. Like when we exercise, like we pump iron, we pump weights.
Mm-hmm.
That stresses the muscle. But then we stop. The muscle breaks down, and it builds back up then, even stronger. It's the same with stress. When we have short-term, moderate stress, that challenges us. It challenges our brain. It challenges us emotionally as people. And we bring forth something new in ourselves. We grow stronger in the process. We become more of who we are. We bring forth new abilities, new capacities. So that kind of challenge is good. What the brain needs, the brain thrives on. And actually, that kind of stress increases neurogenesis. But that's not the kind of stress most people have in their lives and most people complain of. What most people complain of is chronic stress. And chronic stress is unrelenting, and that is very damaging, both to the brain and to the rate of neurogenesis. The rate of neurogenesis slows way, way down when we have just chronic stress. So this is, and actually, chronic stress can shrink the brain. It can shrink the hippocampus, which is where most of the neurogenesis occurs in. And when the hippocampus shrinks, we get a reduction in all kinds of capacities, in memory, in emotion regulation, actually in Alzheimer's. That's what we see. We see a shrinkage of the hippocampus. It's attacked during Alzheimer's. And the whole self begins to, it's like the rug gets pulled out from the self. And Alzheimer's, as it turns out, is very much a lifestyle disease. And a big part of that contributing factor is chronic stress. That chronic stress alters our sugar metabolism. It's involved in heart disease. It's involved in diabetes. And it's also involved in cognitive decline.
Okay.
So, finding a way to take chronic stress and get a break from it, to relax, to exercise, to do meditation, to play, to take a break, to unplug from the internet. This is hugely important.
Right.
To, so that our bodies can return to homeostatic balance and a relaxed state.
Okay. You know, Dr. Brandt, we're just about out of time, but, you know, please tell us where we can get your book.
Mm. Okay, it's available at Amazon. Or you can order through any bookstore, or you can go to the book's website if you also want to read the first chapter, and that is neurogenesisdiet.com.
Okay.
Or my website, which is brandcourtwright.com.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for sharing this with us today. This really is important information to get out there. And, you know, thanks again for writing the book.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for helping to get the word out about neurogenesis.
All right. And you just keep on doing what you're doing, okay? Get it out there. So, all right, we'll be back with more Pep Talk and Shark to Heart right after this.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jenny are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA. These shoes are made for walking, jumping, running, and just plain style. Over 32,000 styles. Skechers, an award-winning global leader in lifestyle footwear. And now you can get Skechers without walking, jumping, or running. You can get them by clicking. Scroll down HealthyLife.net's homepage and click. You can check out Skechers, high-quality shoes in styles for men, women, and children. So get in style. Get Skechers today and start walking, running, jumping, and strutting in style.
For more than 20 years, Homeboy Industries has made a difference in the lives of former gang members and at-risk youth in Los Angeles. Their free programs and services have given hope and opportunity to thousands and their signature businesses, Homeboy Bakery, Homegirl Cafe and Catering, Homeboy Silkscreen and Embroidery, and Homeboy Merchandise, offers hands-on training in a safe work environment. Donate to Homeboy today and help them continue their important work. To find out more, call 323-526-1254 or visit online at www.homeboy-industries.org. South Bay Saturdays, catch the best of 7, the best of the HealthyLife.net news at 7, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, Saturdays, only on HealthyLife.net Radio.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. Sharky Zartman here, and it's time for Shark to Heart. And it's almost Halloween time. We've been seeing all the masks, all the skeletons, the witches, and all our political candidates, you know, as costumes. And so it's a fun time of year. For me, it's especially important because I got engaged on Halloween, and it actually was the scariest day of my life because I just didn't know whether or not I was going to be marriage material. I didn't know if, I knew the person that I had chosen was a wonderful man, but we were so different, and so I didn't know how we were going to work all that out. But we have. I mean, it was 40 years ago on Halloween we got engaged, and we're still together, so we made a good choice. And so I wanted to share with you, my husband and I kept telling him, when we were in our early years, I want to go to Not Scary Farm. I mean, I just, I've always wanted to go. It sounds like so much fun, and, let's just go. And he kept saying, no, that's just stupid, how juvenile. I mean, I don't want to, be around all those people, who are just running around scaring people. And so he wouldn't go with me, and none of my family members were really interested, and none of my friends, and so, I wasn't going to go by myself. So when my daughter was 10 years old, I said, hey, Terry, do you want to go to Not Scary Farm? And she's going, yeah, Mom, that sounds really cool. And so she goes, can we bring my friend? And I go, sure, bring your friend and bring her mom. And so we took off, and everybody thought we were a little nuts, me especially, for taking my 10-year-old daughter. And I'll never forget when we showed up at Not Scary Farm, there was this huge spider that was covering up the entrance going into the park. And so, and it was just starting to get dark because you go at night. And I remember just going, okay, we're gonna start off in Snoopy Land because, these kids are young, and, I don't want to scare them too much. And we decided that we were all gonna hold hands. And so we're all gonna hold hands. We're all gonna hold on to each other, And we were kind of walking around. There was fog coming up from everywhere. It looked really spooky. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes a person running at us with a scary mask on, making like clanking noises, and slid on his knees like a big bowling ball hurling our way. And we all screamed and ran in four different directions. And I remember after I ran, I was looking around and going, oh my gosh, where's Terry? And so I started running from site to site and finally found her in a little small covering where the monster was there in a crouching position, holding up his hands, growling at her. And I was ready to save her when I noticed that she was laughing. And she realized that he was only a person in a mask and it wasn't real. And at first she was scared, and then she realized that it was fun. And that's why we went there, to get scared. And so I remember the rest of the night, just about every ride you went on, there were monsters. They were popping out of everywhere. And it was really scary, and it was exciting, and you know, there was all that ground fog everywhere. But I think the scariest thing, at least for me, was the mazes. And I don't know if any of you have ever gone through a maze at either Universal, Universal, they have them there. I think Disneyland might have some, but Knott's Berry Farm, that was my first experience. And you go through these mazes, and they have things set up. And boy, this, you have to wear good shoes. I mean, you have to wear shoes that you can run in. You don't walk through one of these mazes. And so I remember us going through our first maze, and we were all very close together. And there was a guy in front of me. My daughter was holding my waist. And we started kind of walking through, and then we started running as people started jumping out. And I swear to God, I tore the guy's shirt in front of me. I tore off, I think, one of the arms, and because it was scary. And so, you know, that was the way the night went. I mean, it was just on and on and on and on, and we were laughing, and, you know, just, and on the way home, I remember we all were laughing at all the events, and when we get together, we still laugh. And at the time, it seemed real and scary, but it was also fun and adventurous. And so, and I started thinking about, you know, Knott's Scary Farm as almost being a metaphor for life, you know, because, you know, I mean, basically, you know, what if we came here and this amusement park was called the Human Adventure? Okay, I know I'm really stretching this. And we came here in search of fun and excitement because we were a little bored in heaven. In order for us to get the real effect, though, we must think it's real. And so we didn't come here for a placid, peaceful, uneventful life. We wanted adventure. If we wanted that, we would have stayed in heaven. So no, we wanted this, just like you want to get scared when you go to Knott's Berry Farm or Knott's Scary Farm. And, you know, we all have a soul, and the soul knows this. It's just along for the ride. Our mind and body is what we're mostly aware of, while the soul just kind of notices and kind of, you know, sits and laughs. So when the adventure is over, the mind and the body must stay in the park, but the soul gets to go home with its friends and laugh and share experiences. And so I always share this story with my students. I actually have a little handout for them. So I always say, Happy Halloween, Mrs. Z. And I always remind them, always know and remember that you're more than your physical body. And this will provide instant perspective on any earth activity. The agony becomes tolerable, the ecstasy more profound, locally induced fears evaporate. Accidents may happen, but you cannot lose because you've had the experience of being human. And that quote is from Robert Monroe from The Ultimate Journey. And so, anyway, have a wonderful Halloween. You know, just get out there and enjoy it. And, you know, just be careful. There's a lot of crazy people out there. And we'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Now you get Kmart on HealthyLife.net. Kmart carries over 70,000 items like Martha Stewart's Everyday Products, Apparel by Jacqueline Smith, Joe Boxer, Route 66, Appliances, Jewelry, and more. Everything you need. Plus, you'll get exciting weekly promotions. Go to HealthyLife.net's homepage and click on Kmart, and then you're there. And you even avoided the crowds.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. Then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
We are back with more Pep Talk, and next up is Melissa Cohen, a licensed certified social worker, therapist, professional coach, independent educational consultant, and the author of Amazon's bestseller, Parentnology, A Simple Guide to Surviving Your Teen. So welcome, Melissa.
Hi, Sharky. It's great to be here.
Yeah, well, you know, you have so much expertise in therapy and coaching. Why did you decide to write a book on how to survive your teen?
Well, after many years of working with teens and with parents, I kind of just wanted to put it out there in a very simple, easy-to-read way. Most of the people who were coming through my office kept saying that they would go to reference a book or find that information, but everything just seemed so overwhelming that they never finished anything.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that if I was able to really put it in a concise, easy-to-read manner, answer some of their really burning questions, then it would be a no-brainer.
Okay, perfect. Do you have teenagers?
No, I don't, but I worked with them for a really long time.
Okay, all right, but you are a parent, right?
I am a parent, and today's kids, no matter their age, act like teenagers.
Oh, really? How old are your children or your child?
I have an 8-year-old, but I live in New York City, and our children tend to think that they are teenagers already.
Oh, my gosh, 8. Whoa. All right. I have to ask, a lot of people find it hard to transition into being a parent, especially, when they have a career and then all of a sudden now they're a parent with a career. Was that a hard transition for you?
Yes. I had been working. I didn't really know what that was going to mean for me, but just trying to find the balance and really keeping things in perspective just helped me through the whole process. And it took some time to adjust. Everyone has their own threshold of where they can come from, where they can go, and what they can all put on their plate. And the most important thing is to ask for help.
Right, right.
We forget that, and as parents, and especially as moms, we want to be able to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we can't. And it's quite all right to enlist help of a family member, of your own parents, of friends, to help you, mm-hmm. just so that you can get through it.
Right, right. Well, I totally agree. We always hear this advice. I heard this when my kids were young. They say, enjoy your kid while you can, because when he or she's a teenager, you'll never see them again. What do you think about that?
I think that, they do so many little things when they're younger, when they're not so self-conscious of what they're doing. And those things disappear as they get older and they're more aware of themselves and how they fit into the world. So if we keep those little things going when they get older and they don't want to be so much a part of the family, we can hold on to those to help us get through, mm-hmm. because there is a time when they do get older that they do circle back around.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I know that. I remember when I took my daughter to school for her first day in high school, she looked so scared. And the whole rest of the day at my work, I was just, really emotional and thinking about her. And when I went to pick her up, she had a bunch of new friends around her, and she kind of ignored me.
Yes, kids are very resilient, and it's really the fear of the unknown, but they're very adaptable.
Right, right. So let's talk about some of your tips for being a parent of a teenager. What are some of the things that we should be doing?
Well, I think for everyone it's a little different. But we definitely have to encourage creativity. Kids who are successful feel comfortable with who they are, and that's what makes them happy. If we contain their creativity and don't really allow them to express themselves, then we're not doing them any favors as their parent. The same way that we need to be a role model. You can't expect things from them that you aren't willing to do yourself.
Okay.
You know, I always use the best example is when you're sitting down at the table, and if you want your kids to put their cell phone away, you have to put your cell phone away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times have you gone out and you sit into a restaurant and you see a whole family on their phone?
Oh, I know. I see it all the time. It's crazy.
Right. But that doesn't encourage communication within the family.
Right.
I think that's very important. And that's how all of our relationships, that's where they start. That's our foundation. And if we can't communicate and we don't know how to manage our conflict and speak with one another and respect one another, then we're not going to be able to grow as families or as individuals.
Right.
Because we just don't know how to interact with those people around us.
Right. I noticed on your cover of your book, you have a mother with a megaphone, and the teenage daughter has a cell phone in her hand, and she's totally ignoring her.
Yep. I mean, that's today's age. Those are our kids.
Right.
They don't really know how to speak to one another the way that we did. They have to be encouraged to speak. The only time they get to speak is during school, but given the opportunity, they'd rather text it or email it or picture it, Snapchat, Instagram, things like that. That's really where they're comfortable.
Well, technology, I mean, we all use it, and I think, you know, teenagers especially enjoy using it. Do you think this might be hurting their personal development?
I absolutely do. I think that it has a place and it has a role, but in the way that it is taking over is really not beneficial to anyone.
Okay. So what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to limit their time or, you know, not give them a data program? What would you suggest?
Well, I believe that you should allow them to use their technology because that's the way the world functions around them. But at home, there needs to be some rules. There needs to be time limits. There shouldn't be technology in their rooms.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's where they sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And if things are constantly beeping or clicking or whatever, they're not going to be getting the sleep that they need or doing the studying that they need. I also feel that, like I said, in family time, it really shouldn't be a way for, it has a role of communicating when you're out of the house. It's wonderful. But within the house or when you need to actually say something to someone, it needs to be face-to-face.
Okay. All right. I totally agree with that. And because, you know, I mean, if kids lose their sense of communication, I mean, they're not going to go far in the world. So.
No, it's really important for families to reset, refocus, and reconnect.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, relationships with your significant other when you're raising kids, because I know there's problems that can arise there, and also what we're supposed to do with our kids after they turn 18. You want to go there? Okay, all right. We'll be back with more Pep Talk and Melissa Cohen right after this.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
We're back with more Pep Talk, and I'm here with Melissa Cohen, and she wrote the bestseller, Parentnology, A Simple Guide to Surviving Your Teen. Well, Melissa, we've been talking a little bit about things you should and shouldn't do when raising teenagers, but I know that parents, a lot of times, their relationship suffers when they're raising kids, especially teenagers, because there are a lot of times discrepancies in how they want to raise them. So what are some suggestions that you have for the parents?
Well, parents should be on the same page.
Yes.
And those discussions need to occur before the incident. So the parents need to be proactive and kind of have an idea of where they want to go as their kids get older.
Mm-hmm.
If you have parents on two different ends, then it's fragmented and nothing will happen. And the relationship will fall apart because teens are really good at turning one parent against another.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, Mom said I could.
Of course. And a little bit more than that. It's even more. They're manipulative, and they know where to go to get the answers that they want. And they know how to say to you and how to make you feel guilty in order for them to get what they think that they need to have.
Right, right. So they're kind of masters of manipulation.
Yeah, they spent a long time doing it.
Yes, yes, they're very good at it. And so, I told you at the break, I have two daughters that, we raised, and, you know, they turned out to be wonderful young adults. But I remember when they turned 18, you know, supposedly they're supposed to be adults and be able to do everything on their own. And, you know, that just wasn't the case for us, you know. I mean, they still seemed like, you know, they were in some ways kids, right?
Yes. 18-year-old brains are not fully developed yet. Brains continue to develop until we're about 25. So although they look like adults, they don't always act like adults. They still do the same things that they do as a teen, and it takes a long time for them to kind of figure out and for their brains to catch up to their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So they do make poor choices, and they don't always think things through. But that's part of that late adolescent period, that 18 to 25-year-old period, where they start to learn it and start to make sense, and they start to see that there's consequences, and consequences are no longer like you can't watch TV anymore or you lose your computer. Mm-hmm. They have long-lasting effects on you and on those around you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And I remember when my kids moved out, I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, they're gone. And both of them came back, you know, 2-3 times sometimes. It was like the revolving door until they finally settled down with their jobs, with their relationships. And I remember them coming back just going, oh, my gosh, they're adults now. They're not kids anymore. They have, you know, I mean, they're in master's programs. They're, you know, doing all these things. They're just living with us. And so how do you suggest that parents handle kids when they come back to live back with their parents, even just for a short period of time?
Yes, well, those kids who come back need to be treated not really as kids anymore, because they're not. And they're not really adults, so they're more like a guest in your home.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be rules. There has to be boundaries. And the things that existed before in the rules of the house still exist. Like, you can't be rude to one another, and you have to behave, and you have to be a part of the family. As well as, on the other end, they still need to, you need to implement new rules that pertain to them now as they're older.
Okay.
So, no drinking or drugs, or if you're disruptive, or if you don't respect the rest of the family or the house, then you can't live here anymore.
Okay.
And those are things that you can't say to them when they're under 18, but once they graduate college and they're more of an adult, you can.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So they need to, the old rules coupled with some new ones.
Okay. That sounds good. Because, you know, it's a transition, and, you know, there's not a lot out there for parents on how to handle, you know, kids after, you know, they're grown up. Because you're still parenting.
You parent your whole life.
Right.
To be honest, it's just that your role as a parent changes. So whereas when they're younger, you're needed so much more. And as they get older, you're not necessarily needed as much, but you're still needed just in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that seems to be the biggest issue today, is if you hear about all these different types of parents and how we give so much to our kids until they go away to college. We monitor everything, and then they go away to college, and we don't always provide them the same supports.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot more anxiety and depression in our older teens than there ever was before.
Okay. Yeah, that's understandable. You know, a lot of parents, once their kids, you know, do move out for good, they suffer what's called empty nest syndrome. And, because they have spent so much time raising these kids, you know, it's their priority. And all of a sudden they're looking at their spouse just going, oh, what do we do now?
Right. So it's important throughout the entire time that since your kids are born, that you have time for your spouse and that your life does not only revolve around your children. Because once they leave and get lives of their own, you don't want to be left with nothing.
Right.
You want to always do something that's good for you, because that translates to your kids and they learn that as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I hear a lot of parents just going, you know, that was really different. That was a transition. And so,
it's a very difficult transition, but if you don't make it so absolute, it becomes a lot easier.
Okay. Sounds good. Now, I know you do both therapy and coaching. What's the difference?
Well, therapy is much more related to talking and more emotional than coaching. Coaching is much more on point. We
okay.
work a lot more on goals. It's a combination. It's a working together. It's not so much of a therapist-patient relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I do is I combine my therapy with my coaching.
Okay.
Because as much as talk therapy helps to kind of figure out why you do the things that you do,
mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to come up with a plan so that you are prepared for the next steps and for where you want to go in your life.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Well, you know what? We are just about out of time, Melissa. So please tell us if you have a website and where we can get your book.
Okay, you can get, my website is therymacgroup.com, T-H-E-R-Y-M-A-C group. And my book, Parentnology, Parentknowledge.com, is available on Amazon and also at Parentnology.com.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Well, thanks so much for joining us today and giving us some great tips.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, yes, and we'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Pep it up with positive energy power right here on HealthyLife.net.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pep Talk, and to my amazing guest, Dr. Brant Courtwright, the author of The Neurogenesis Diet and Lifestyle, and also Melissa Cohen, the author of Parentnology. Until next time, I'm Sharky Zartman, and here's to your inner shark.